Thank you, brother. I want to set your minds to somewhere, and actually not in a specific place, but actually in a time frame. For this sermon, I want you to look 20 years into the future and think about this congregation here at Fairview. What's it going to be like 20 years at Fairview? Just to give you an idea, Abel will be 23 years old. Think about Ruby Kate. She'll be 21. No, we don't want to think about that, do we? But actually, there's something that we need to do think about, and that's the future. We need to think about the future right here at Fairview, because there's one fact that we need to realize, and it doesn't matter of age, but one day, possibly, in 20 years, most of us sitting in this room have already gone on to our reward. And I want you to think about this. When this happens, if the Lord doesn't come back first, it will be up to us to leave behind, to carry on the duties of this congregation. Think about that. 20 years from now, where will Fairview be? Well, I mean, will this building still be here? Will that building still be here? Or will somebody accidentally hit the sprinklers and everything's all messed up? Don't even look at them sprinklers now. We don't know, do we? There may be a possibility where we would have to build a new building. I know the elders are thinking, I hope I'm gone before that happens. But 20 years from now, what really matters is that we prepare for that future. Prepare so that this congregation can, in fact, carry on the duties for the cause of Christ. You know, today we truly rely on leadership, and we should. There's a sense of comfort to be under such sound leadership. Leaders, though, however, they come and go. And when leaders do go, guess what? The earth doesn't stop spinning. Life does not stop. Life goes on. The work has to continue. And so today, we're going to talk about being a courageous leader. Now, some may think in here, well, this doesn't apply to me. I hold no such position that is a leadership position. But in fact, you will need to understand that we are all leaders, whether we realize it or not. Every single one of us in here, we lead in certain capacities. We may not lead a group of people. We may not be a president of a certain organization. We may never be an elder or whatnot, but that does not mean that I'm not influencing somebody. The way I live my life may influence whether they go this way or that way. And because in that sense, I am influencing somebody, I am a leader by default. You know, in our journey on earth, you and I have free will. And we may be leading our minds to that which is right or to that which is wrong. What I'm saying is that we choose our own paths, and who are we going to take with us? We influence people. When it comes to being a Christian, we're leading in some way. And because we are leading in some way, there is a need or a necessity of being courageous or having courage. You see, the truth is, only courage enables a Christian to step out. At least once in a Christian's life, he or she will have to stand for what they believe is right, to risk their reputation, to risk their popularity. Oh, I better not do that. I don't know what they're going to think about me. To take a risk. And sometimes we have to act alone. There's a particular actor, a leader, that I want to set our minds to. And if you will, open your Bibles with me to the book of Joshua. Because in this very situation, this occurred to him. The book of Joshua, chapter 1. The Lord says to him in verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage?" Why? "Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. We're going to observe Joshua 1 today, and we're going to observe three things. We're going to observe what courage is. We're going to observe the reason that we can have courage or to be courageous. And then we're going to talk just a little bit about how to develop that courage. Point number one, if you're following along on the outline in the bulletin, point number one, what is courage? What is courage? Well, the dictionary has a definition. It says, courage is the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulty, danger, pain, or anything else. Simply put, courage is this. It's the ability to do that which frightens you. And I want you to notice that what courage is not. It did not say anything about the absence of. Okay? Courage is not the absence of difficulty. It's not the absence of danger or pain. We live our lives trying to avoid these things. However, difficulty, danger, and pain, it's all inevitable. It's going to happen to you and it's going to happen to me. You see, if courage were the absence of these things, then no one would have that ability to be courageous. So, it's not the absence of these things. Also, courage is not superhuman. Sometimes we watch movies and you see superheroes, they have these special abilities or whatnot. For instance, Superman is impervious to bullets. So if I was impervious to bullets, throw me out in the front lines. Nobody could kill me. I'll destroy everybody. That's not courage. But also this, courage is not fearlessness. What I mean by that, it's not foolishness. I recently watched a video and it just baffled me. Somebody was standing on the side of the road, a very busy highway, and all of a sudden he runs in the middle of this highway and he hits the ground flat. The next second, a semi-truck rolls over him. He gets back up and goes back to the side of the road. That's not courage. Wow, all of you just said it. Stupidity. I was going to be nicer and say that's foolishness, but whatever. I get it. You get it. That's crazy. That's not courage. You know, things could go wrong in situations like that. Well, let's look at Joshua here, and let's look at the background of what's happening to him. First two verses. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, look at this. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, the Lord's speaking to Joshua, therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Just what I alluded to in my introduction. Moses had been the leader for the children of God for so many decades. Joshua, his servant, has been observing Moses and all the things that he has done. Moses was not allowed to enter into the promised land. He had sinned. God had given him this panoramic view of what could have been. But after that, he wasn't allowed to go in. He died right then. But friends, life didn't stop. You still had millions and millions of Israelites waiting to go to the land that's been promised to them. Life must go on. So, God gives leadership of Israel into the hands of Joshua. And he has a responsibility. Let's continue to read. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Joshua's in charge of millions of his own people. And God tells him, this is your territory. And by the way, do you think Joshua knew about this territory? Absolutely. He knew exactly who occupied this place. He explored this land once before. He knows who dwells there. He knows how big the armies are there. He knows how fortified these cities are against people that have been living in tents for decades. He absolutely knows. But he has this responsibility. It's a privilege to be given this responsibility. Why? Because God gave it to him. Lead these people, destroy their armies, in order for them to go away and you overtake that promised land. Now, friends, this is an application here. First off, you and I have a responsibility. The responsibility belongs to everyone, and it doesn't just belong to leaders. To everyone. Remember what I said. We are all leaders by being a light shining amongst our peers. This light, what's it to do? It's supposed to lead people to the paths of righteousness. Go over the Jordan. This is the way to salvation. We have a responsibility to do that. Also, number two, there are enemies to face, figuratively. There are Canaanites when we walk out this door. Canaanites all over the place. We're to conquer them. How? Carnal weapons? No. Our weapons aren't carnal. Friends, we have a spiritual sword. That spiritual sword is supposed to cut to their heart. Hopefully to be a spiritual mirror unto them. Hopefully they'll see, you know what? I'm lost without God. And then all of a sudden, they're conquered, friends, and they're not gone, but they're no longer your enemy. Instead, they're your brother. It's very interesting. When you conquer the Canaanites here on earth today, our army grows. Theirs diminishes. It's time to go over to the Jordan and take it. The world is teaching so much that's contradicted to the Bible, what love and hate is. How many times have you and I as Christians been called bigots because we don't agree with what the world teaches about love and hate? They don't understand what love is. And love, God is love. His ways are love. We love their souls. And we want them to follow God. We want them to go to heaven. Friends, that doesn't sound like hate at all. That's love. And friends, we have a responsibility. We have enemies that we must face, and also there's a need to be courageous. If you read the first 9 verses of this very first chapter in Joshua, God will tell Joshua three times to be strong and of a good courage. There's a need for it. Why? Because if God had done everything, he said, you know what, Joshua, you and your people, you wait right here. You wait about 3 days. I'm going to go to that land and I'm going to wipe them all out for you. Then when I'll call you and you come on in. That's not how it works. See, if God had done everything, there would be no need for Joshua to be strong and courageous. But Joshua needed to be that way, didn't he? He needed to be strong. He needed to be brave. Why? To prepare himself for the battle. He knows who he's about to fight. Incidentally, he also knows about the doubt of his people too. It's okay to be afraid. Remember what courage is. It is not the absence of fear or anything dangerous or difficulty or pain. It's okay to be afraid. However, if that fear stops you or hinders you from doing what is right, that's when the fear is wrong. Paul told Timothy this, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power." Not fear, of power. Those things contradict from one another. God has given us a source of power that can help us overcome any obstacle. Number one, temptation. He's provided a way to escape. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. Work. We have the power to work. God will remember our work of love. Hebrews 6 and 10. By the way, friends, we here at Fairview, we need workers. We need workers. We have a lot of them, but we need even more. Also, friends, we need to encourage each other and not discourage. When someone is diligently working for the cause of Christ, we need to say things and only those things that could help and not destroy. You're hindering their soul if you do that. Encourage them. How? Join them in the fight. Join them in the fight. Friends, he's given us power to teach. Of course, we've been given that great commission. We're supposed to teach the lost. We're supposed to teach the whole entire world the gospel so that their souls can be saved. But you know what? There are many, I'm not talking just Fairview, but in general, there are many who refuse to teach. Why? Because they're letting their fear overtake them. I don't want to teach. I might say something wrong. Friends, you will learn what to do right. There may be times where I say something wrong, and there have been. I've been corrected on several situations, and I am so grateful for that. It's okay to be afraid. Don't let that fear hinder you from what God is wanting you to do. Friends, we need teachers here. If we hang, remember, set your mind 20 years from now, and we hang, and we put all of our eggs, the teachers that we have, in one basket, and for some reason, hypothetically speaking, something happens to where they no longer can teach, what then? Who's going to have the courage to step up and do it? He doesn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power. That power that helps us expose and refute false doctrines. When we teach God's Word in its purity, we do that by learning it well, knowing how to defend it, and then when we do that, we have the power. Those who teach false teachings have no power. They have nothing to back up what they're teaching because it contradicts what God says. Friends, knowledge is power, isn't it? Absolutely. So, not fear, but power. But also, not fear. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love. Of love. John said this, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. There's a problem. There's no fear in love. We need to be strong and courageous. We need to love Jesus to the point that we will not let fear overcome us to do the things for His cause. We can relate to that in our own families, right? We have children, we have grandchildren, we have brothers and sisters. We would do anything for them, wouldn't we? If they're in need, come and stay with us. We'll feed you, we'll clothe you, we'll do whatever we need to make sure that you're doing okay. Why? Because we love them, right? Do we have that same kind of love for Jesus even more so? He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but love. Perfect love casts out fear. It's not going to matter. How do we show Jesus that we love Him? We keep His commandments. We do what He says. We tell our fellow man all about Him. And if we love others, that's exactly what we'll do. We'll not do anything to hurt anybody else unnecessarily, but we're going to do that all that is possible that will help them. What do I mean by that? Brothers and sisters, if you see me, I'll put myself out in the line. If you see me living in sin, please love me enough to tell me that I'm living in sin. How many of us, sometimes we don't confront a brother or sister when we know they're living in a way that they shouldn't be, and we just let it be? That's not love. You're allowing somebody to go back out into the world. But I'm not the one sinning. You love your brother and sister, right? Yes. Let them know something. Bring them back into the light. But also, He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. The original word means self-disciplined. He gave us a spirit of a sound mind, a self-disciplined heart. It means to have a clear understanding. It gives us a way to think and speak and act right in all things. Yes, we have natural urges, don't we? We certainly do. But He also gave us a way to escape it. We don't have to give in to that. We are stronger than that. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power, but of love, and of a sound mind. Another thing, another application from these four verses that we just read is this, and this is what matters. You and I also have a land which is promised to you and to us. We have a land promise. Friends, you know what it is? Heaven. Be strong and of a good courage. I'm with you wherever you go. Take your people, cross this river, and take that land. Is that what we're doing today? Because this place here is going to be contained with God's children. We know that because Revelation 21:3 says, "And I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." God's children are those who are obedient to God's commands. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to whom? All those who obey him. And friends, if we want to dwell in this place, we need to have courage to conquer what makes us fearful. Point number two, it's already on the screen. We can have courage. How do we know that? Well, let's read. God is going to give Joshua assurance here, 5 and 6. "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong." Here it is again. "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." You see that? No enemy is going to be able to withstand your invasion. God is always going to be there to help. Every general in the army would love to hear this message. You go to that battlefield, you're going to win this fight. It's guaranteed. And there is no better assurance than knowing that you're going to win, right? What does Romans 8:31 say? "What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, you can finish it. Who could be against us?" Is that in your mind every day? I'm living my life the best way I can, and that because I am, I know that my Father, my Heavenly Father, is with me. And if He is with me, nobody could be against me. Nobody's going to overtake me. Nobody's going to conquer me. Friends, we belong to a kingdom that cannot be destroyed. It may seem like the world has an upper hand these days, but it certainly doesn't. God will have the final word. And those on His side will be victorious. And He gives a good reason. Let's read the next two verses. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you mayest prosper whithersoever you goest. This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt have good success." Be strong and of good courage so that you're going to be able to do things that are required by my law. And doing good, God's will, was so important. First off, to conquer the land. The only way that they could conquer that land is if they did what God said. He also says here, you must not turn from God's word to the right or the left. We do this if we bind what God did not bind or loose what God did not loose or bound. Well, there's many warnings about that. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2, "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you." Jesus said this, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give thee unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And also here, Revelation 22:18-19, a verse that I had to tell my Mormon friends, if you look at this, I don't need your Book of Mormon, because the Bible says this, "I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things," God shall add unto him what? Plagues. "You add to my word, you will be cursed." Also, he said, "If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away this part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." That's a place we don't want to be in. If I'm going to be successful, I'm not going to go this way or that way. I'm going to go to the straight and narrow. The only way to go through the straight and narrow is do exactly what God says. And finally, he said, my law is to remain in your mouth. Now, let me ask you this. If God's word is going to come out of my mouth, where does it first need to be? In my heart. In my heart. Notice I'm pointing to my head. That's not where your heart is. My heart's just a muscle. It reacts to what my brain gives. I don't know anything about anatomy or how that works. I reckon that's how they got that saying. But if God's word is up here, this reacts to what this knows. If it's going to come out of here, it's got to be in here first. And if it's not in here, something else will come out of here. Friends, that's not where we want to be. Proverbs writer said, keep thy heart, your mind, with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against thee. If I have God's word in my heart, I'm less likely to sin. It teaches me how to love him. Keep his commandments. I keep his commandments, I'm not sinning. And so to apply this, we can also be courageous knowing that we have assurance of God. God cannot lie, Titus 1 and 2. He promised us that if we live rightfully and faithfully, we'll receive a crown of life, Revelation 2:10. I can be courageous knowing that if I keep his word, I will be successful. And if I try to do things my way, it's not courageous, it's foolish. And I'm playing games with my soul. I might as well play in traffic and try to dive under semi-trucks. Also, I can have the courage to let go of that which is familiar and comfortable. And that's what we do sometimes. We cling to that which is familiar. We only hang around our friends, family, and possibly other Christians. Why? It's safe. Hey, I love Sundays. I love Wednesday nights. It is safe in here. I love seeing all of you. It's a relief. Go out in the real world. And if we're only clinging to that, we're not going to take risks. And why is that important? Because risk is a prerequisite of courage. Courage takes risks and it sees what is important to grow. Healthy courage is always about moving forward and growing. And friends, that's what courage can do. It can grow. It's like a muscle. It's like a muscle. Courage is initiating and doing what you're afraid of doing. Men, are you afraid to lead a prayer? I am. It's very nerve-wracking to get up in front of everybody. You know that. Is that okay? Yes. Courage is not the absence of fear. Do you have some kind of skill or talent that could be used for the cause of Christ, for the service? 20 years from Fairview. You've had this talent the whole time and you've yet to step in the pulpit to lead a song. And you had the ability to do it. Are you going to develop that courage to do it? 20 years from now at Fairview, you've never taught a Bible school class. All the other teachers are gone. Do you have the courage to do it when it's your turn? Courage acts in spite of fear. Let me give you an illustration. My son Abel. You know he has high allergies, very bad. And every week he has to get a shot. At first, he was very scared. We would have to hold him down so the nurse could poke him. Eventually, we would just have to sit with him. He would still cry because he knew he was going to get a sucker. He got to pick out the sucker. In that bucket, he's going to get a sucker. And then we sat with him, and he got his shot, and he didn't cry anymore. Still got to pick out his sucker. Still does. One day, we're sitting in the lobby, and they call his name to go back, and he starts towards that door, and he says, "No, Mama, I can go by myself." He doesn't cry. and he gets that sucker. And now he doesn't even call getting it a shot anymore. He says, I'm going to go get a sucker. Let me tell you something. I understand your fear. I get nervous every time I come up to this pulpit. Sometimes I prepare sermons and I get nervous about what are they going to think about this truth that I'm about to preach, because it may hit them, it may make them mad, it may make them yell at me or scream at me, it may make them want to quit the church. But let me tell you something, those who fear to do what they're supposed to be doing and they're not doing, you are a member of the Fairview Church of Christ, full of people of love and encouraging people. I led a song one Sunday, and now I'm preaching. I'm getting my sucker. Courage grows, folks. But it will not grow if you don't act. And it's also contagious. Surround yourself with other people who have courage. And then you step out and other people will follow you and then they'll gain the courage. You see how these things grow? Think about Fairview 20 years from now. Are we going to be full of courageous Christians or are we going to be a bunch of cowards? And you know what the good news is? It's up to you and me. We just got to have the courage. So let me close by asking this. Do you feel the need to grow your courage and lead and do something for the Lord, for Fairview? It could be not just 20 years from now. Friends, it could be tomorrow. Or has fear hindered you to do what needs to be done in order for you to serve or even go to heaven? God proved to Joshua that he would be with them if Joshua followed him faithfully. Friends, he's going to follow you. As a matter of fact, Joshua said this, and it was read before the sermon today. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, the Egyptian side, all those gods, or the gods of the Amorites, and those in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord regardless what anybody thinks. I'm not scared. I will become a Christian regardless what anybody thinks. It doesn't matter what mama thinks about me or daddy thinks about me or my sons or anybody. I need to be a Christian. That's courage. Some people say, you know what, you're a Christian now, but you've lost your job. That's foolishness. Wrong. That's courage. If we believe the promises that God gives us in His Word, we're going to be strong. And we're going to be relatively fearless as we perform that which we ought to do. And so let me ask you this. Do you right now at this very moment, you're not a Christian yet, do you have the courage to step out and become one today? It's all up to you. If you want to become one today, we've got a brother here who's prepared a song of encouragement. And all you have to do is step out. Really, that first step is the hardest one. Once you stepped out in the aisle, everything else will fall into place. Somehow you end up in the front pew. And you let us know, you know what? I don't have yet to contact the blood of Christ through baptism, Romans 6. I have yet to be saved, 1 Peter 3:21. And I want to do that today. I want to follow Christ. And I pray that those will follow me. They'll see me and they'll follow me and be courageous also. Do you have the courage to step forward? We hope you do. Won't you come? Show your courage. Come forward as we stand and sing.